Words on Water.
Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today to talk a little bit about what is happening at a federal level around stormwater issues, and maybe how you can contribute to some of the ongoing advocacy efforts we have to try to build greater support at a federal level for the needs of our sector. So I just wanted to maybe set the table a little bit about this conversation for today about what's been happening over the last several years that directly impacts some stormwater policy making and decision making, and then how that could transition into some of the things that we're working on this year. Just briefly, many of you may have seen that the America's Water Infrastructure Act passed back in 2018. That was part of the WERDA bill, the Water Resource Development Act. And I'll talk about what's in the works right now for the WERDA bill. But in that was a couple of things that we were very excited to see for stormwater. One was the establishment of the new Sewer Overflow Control Grant Program. It's Section 221 of the Clean Water Act. EPA got money for it in the FY20 budget for $28 million, although it's authorized for $225 million. But it got some initial funding, and EPA is in the process of standing that program up now. They're going through the internal process of getting the guidance together. So hopefully next week when we have the call, the webcast on stormwater issues with the folks from the EPA, either next week or the week after, Chris Kloss or Sonia Brubaker, we could hear where that program stands. But that would be, stormwater is authorized to receive funding through that grant program, though I think a lot of it will go towards CSO and SSO issues, but it is fully authorized. So it'll be important as advocates and as practitioners that we make sure that we apply to that program when the opportunity arises for stormwater infrastructure grants. The other thing that is in the works that I'm sure Sonia will talk about is the Stormwater Infrastructure Financing Task Force that was in the WIA bill. That was a project to have a EPA and them pulling from a group of experts to develop a set of recommendations to Congress on what the stormwater, what our national stormwater infrastructure financing needs are, federal and local. And Fernando was on that task force, as well as Seth was assisting that task force. So I'm hopeful that when we hear from Sonia, that we'll hear a little bit about where that project stands and the report recommendations. I think I heard that last. I heard that it was going to be done sometime in April and transmitted to Congress. So we've had a little bit of a fluctuation in the schedule with the coronavirus crisis. So, but I'm hopeful still that Congress will get it and then they include the recommendations in the WERDA bill. Additional stuff that happened last year was an integrated planning legislation that really just kind of codified the approach to integrated planning in law under the Clean Water Act. It was already in practice in a lot of cases, but it codified it so that communities wanted to include stormwater, and it specifically affirmed that green infrastructure would be a suitable practice for stormwater management under an integrated planning plan. That was going to be so when you're negotiating with your state and federal regulators around the integrated plan, you could stormwater is part of that plan. It also established an EPA Office of Municipal Ombudsman, and the purpose of that person would be to bring in expertise to work with communities across the country about all the resources available within the EPA and the federal government to assist them, predominantly with EPA, to assist communities with what their with what their needs are and addressing their needs in communities across the country, not only stormwater, but wastewater as well. And then finally, something else we've been working on is a clean the moving forward with the Clean Watershed Need Survey. The EPA is still in the process of doing the next one. Funding was getting lined up or is getting lined up through the annual appropriations process to help them have the resources that they need to do a good survey. And the important part of that survey will be to get really strong data out of the states on what states need and what communities needs and states are for stormwater infrastructure funding. And that need survey will go to a report to Congress that has an overview of all of our national needs around water infrastructure and what Congress needs to do towards funding to address those address those things. So it all kind of complements each other when you talk about the Stormwater Infrastructure Financing Task Force report, when you talk about the WEF MS4 needs survey, when you talk about the Clean Watershed Need Survey. All those things are really helping to kind of create greater awareness and support within Congress and the federal agencies around support for good stormwater related policies and infrastructure funding. Seth, did I miss anything there on in any of those things? I think I was going to talk a little bit about some of the other things going on in the future, but in the past tense, I'm calling on Seth Brown, who's my partner in crime and a lot of the stuff we've been doing over the last couple of years here. And if I maybe missed anything, just jump in here, Seth.
Yeah, the only thing, I think you covered everything very well. The only thing that I would add to that, Steve, is the water tech bill that is being worked on. That has not been introduced, as I understand it, from Senator Coons. That's focusing a lot on technology that covers both drinking water, wastewater, and stormwater. And I don't know, you might be covering that somewhere else, but my understanding is that that might be wrapped up into WRDA, but we're not sure exactly what the word that is, but it sounds like it's promising. I don't know if you wanted to elaborate on that or not, but other than that, that's what jumps to mind.
Let's do elaborate on that, but give me 1 minute to get to that slide. So,
Sounds good. Sounds good, sorry.
yeah, no, that's good. No, I just wanted to throw this one slide up here for everybody's enjoyment, let's say. These are all the typical pots of money that are in the annual appropriations, annual budget, that really go towards funding a lot of water infrastructure around around our country at the federal level, at least. The most important one, probably that we all know most, is the Clean Water SRF program. And this is what we're asking for in FY21. It's kind of a jointly shared, developed set of asks between all the Water Week partner organizations, and that's 15 different water associations. As well as other municipal associations that are all jointly kind of sharing a messaging around Water Week, and so we had to we came up with some concrete numbers, so the Clean Water SRF program, we're asking for $1.6 billion, and now it's important to note that in the Clean Water SRF program there is a Green Project Reserve program, and it does say that part of that money, which is a relatively small set aside, but part of that money needs to be directed towards stormwater related infrastructure. It also goes towards energy related or energy efficiency and conservation related infrastructure, which probably gets the majority of that Green Project Reserve funding anyway. But it does have some specific language within that the Clean Water SRF that sets aside money towards stormwater. Though one of the things we've really been struggling with is to try to create greater support for more stormwater infrastructure funding to go out through the Clean Water SRF. And that's part of this effort we're talking about today. And then the additional item I just point out here is the OWEA Sewer Overflow Control Grant Program. And that's what the EPA has named it, Sewer Overflow Control Grants. Although it does specifically in the statutory language say stormwater infrastructure is also funded through that grant program. So, as I mentioned, it got $28 million in FY20. president requested $61 million in his FY21 budget proposal, but we're asking for the full authorized level of $225 million in for FY21. So, briefly on a few things that are really happening on Capitol Hill right now that we're all pretty aware of, I think, is the coronavirus issue, the challenges around that that communities are dealing with. One thing we're watching very closely is the potential for an economic stimulus package coming out of Congress in the coming months. The purpose of that would be to put money into communities so they would make infrastructure investments potentially that would help create economic growth and recovery. We're in the process right now of collecting as much solid, defensible data as possible about what our national water infrastructure needs are, and that includes not only projects that are on SRF program lists that are really the top projects that are on their list that just haven't been funded yet, but they're fully ready to go. But also, we want to supplement that list with other kinds of projects throughout states and communities that would probably that need to be funded. There's no source of funding for them, or they're fully ready to go, but there's just the funding is either dried up because of the current economic crisis, or that the sponsor of that project has not yet been able to identify the right sources of funding. And so with the intention of collecting all those projects into a good comprehensive national list and going to Congress and saying, look, we have, and initially we got a list that shows about just for the SRF projects that are fully ready to go, shows a need for about $71 billion that are projects sitting there waiting to be funded, just the SRFs don't have enough money in the bank to fund them. But I'm sure when we supplement that list with other kinds of projects that are fully ready to go, but not but don't have the funding identified, we'll get a really big list of a big number that we can go to Congress with. So something that I urge all of you guys to do is to if you're active within your member association, to talk to that member association, government affairs committee. If you know of stormwater projects within your communities that are really in need of funding, that are ready to go, they've done their environmental review, they've got their permits, if they have NPDES permits or if they got a state permit, they've got designs on the shelf. Take that project and go to your member association, government affairs committee, and work with them to add that to this list that we're collecting, because we're going to each of the MAs to get them to compile lists. So, I mean, we know that there's some significant needs out there for stormwater, just based upon the last MS4 needs survey that WEF did, which was sort of about a funding gap of $7.5 billion across the country. We know that there's a lot of those projects that could be added out to that list that I'm talking about. Around WERDA, WERDA 2020 is in the works right now. When the House, they did HR 1497 already, that did include clean water SRF reauthorization, WIFIA reauthorization, that sewer overflow control grant program, which on this slide is the CSO, SSO, SW grant program reauthorization. There's also some stuff in there for workforce. There's stuff in there for Section 106 and 319 programs to states to give them some more money to help with their work around working communities. So we're seeing it move through the House, and now we're seeing it start to move through the Senate, and we're expecting the WERDA 2020 bill to be introduced in the Senate in the next week or so, possibly as soon as tomorrow, as soon as Wednesday. So we're going to then hopefully be able to see some things in there that we like and we can work towards around stormwater. And one of the things that we wanted to do in that was include some of the recommendations of the EPA's stormwater infrastructure funding task force report. And so we have a placeholder in the bill right now to maybe add some of those recommendations into the legislation as it moves along. And then the final thing on this slide is the NPDES permit term extension legislation that Congressman John Garamendi has been supportive of, and that was in the House version of H.R. 1497. They did make some changes to what Mr. Garamendi had introduced. So some of the things in there that were a little bit problematic that we didn't really necessarily agree with, and we're hopeful that as the legislation moves along that they could fix those things in there. But the purpose of my comments here are just to mostly inform you guys that there is an effort to extend NPDES permit terms from the 5 years up to about possibly 10 years. So it gives the authority at least to the states and the EPA regions to go to a 10-year permit if the applicant is meeting certain standards. And some of those standards were where we had some sticking points that were in H.R. 1497, such as, you know, you couldn't discharge into an impaired water even if you're not the source of the impaired water, things like that, or the source of the impairment in that watershed, those sorts of things. We're trying to get those fixed. But anyway, but you know, just so you know that there is an effort there to extend NPDES permits. And that's where I'll hand it back to Seth to talk a little bit about the STEP program and the Senator Kuhn's water tech legislation, because that's, we're looking to see if that will show up in the WERDA 2020 bill. Seth?
Yeah, thanks, Stephen. I'm not gonna take much time, but I'll just say that Senator Kuhn's, who has from Delaware, has a keen interest in water technology, and also sits in some favorable committees and subcommittees. I think that again, Steve, you could elaborate on if there's any questions on that. But he has spent the last year or so working with some technical folks internally to develop very comprehensive legislative language, again, that's looking at really focusing on, I guess, on innovation and trying to promote investments in innovative technologies in the water sector. Initially, Steve and I were had been in contact with Senator Kuhn's staff, and there was some there wasn't a whole lot of focus on stormwater. We worked with them, provided they were very helpful. They were very interested in gaining some input on stormwater, and so we did provide some language on that. We have and we really again focused on the stormwater testing and evaluation program, and we'll talk about that in a couple slides. We have not seen the updated language, but I anticipate, and you know, Steve, if you have a different opinion, love to hear it, but we anticipate that they included the information or the language that we shared with them, because they seemed very eager and open to move that forward. And before the COVID-19 situation was upon us, they were looking to introduce this legislation separately, potentially, around Water Week as part of the Water Week activities, or they were looking at trying to get it integrated into the WERDA 2020 bill. It's you know, obviously that's all changed, and the latest that we have on this, and which is actually as recent as I believe this morning or last night from Senator Kuhn's staff, is that they are still looking to try to integrate that into WERDA 2020, and it sounds like we will have some draft language on that, I think, in the near future, this week, I think, or maybe even midweek this week. So we'll have a better understanding of if that made that, you know, what if that language from the water tech bill actually made its way into the WERDA bill, the larger WERDA bill. And if not, then, you know, we'll follow up to see what we can do to make that happen in some other way.
Great. Thank you, Seth. Yeah, so where this leaves us is, there's lots of opportunities. There's lots happening on Capitol Hill around stormwater and around water. So there's really a need for water professionals to be engaged in advocating for the things that we see important. You obviously, you know, we have a lot of, we'll go over the requests or the policy recommendations document here in a second. But, you know, I think really the point to be made here is that, you know, if you're somebody who's comfortable with reaching out to your congressional offices to talk to them about this, what we're talking about, to talk about these policy recommendations, this is the opportunity to do it. They're open. They're still accepting outreach via email or via phone call. And in some cases, do a virtual meeting with a Zoom or some other kinds of, you know, virtual meeting platform. So that's what we're really urging folks to do in the coming couple of weeks here. We got Water Week next week. You don't even necessarily have to do it during Water Week. You do it in the weeks after that. But it's just it's an important time for us to, you know, pull together as a sector and spend some time talking to the folks on Capitol Hill that are really going to be able to benefit, help us do things we need to do to support our sector. So this started back in 2018 when WEF and NAMSA got together and said, let's put together just a kind of a nice document that's clean and straightforward on some of the really important things that we see needed for the water, stormwater sector. And so we got that together 2018, and we did it again in 2019. It had some good successes. We, as I mentioned before, the Stormwater Financing Task Force moved through Congress. The EPA needs survey got some funding to get it going, and with the understanding that there's going to be more on stormwater there, because previous versions of the needs survey were a little bit shorter on stormwater needs than we know that the nation needs. And then we also in there was the CSOSSO Stormwater Grant Program, the EPA Sewer Overflow Control Grant Program, was part of the OWEA bill in 2018. And that really goes to one of the policy recommendations of the ASC document. It's just more money for stormwater needs or stormwater infrastructure needs. So it was the purpose of the document moving forward here is to kind of keep going along those same lines with some of the important asks, that policy recommendations that we've been working on, and some new stuff that we'll get into here briefly. But maybe Fernando, do you mind talking a little bit about our process and how we got to it and introduce the document?
Sure, Steve. The process was just like any other WEF process. It was a combination of volunteers and Stormwater Institute subscribers coming together and working with the Government Affairs Committee and NAMSA. And that's important. And thank you again for participating and giving us these ideas. So that's how I'm going to keep this short because we are running a little behind. Can you go to the next slide?
Yeah, yep, there it is.
Yeah, we have the document that is available to you here in the site through Rebecca. It has four core recommendations. These are simple, actionable recommendations dealing with funding, stormwater treatment system verification, a third one that deals with updating Atlas 14, since we use it in a lot of stormwater issues, and the fourth one is regarding source controls. So now we are going to get into the details of this. We want to leave some time to walk through each one of these recommendations. Back to you, Great. Steve, with recommendation one.
Great, thank you. So I think we've talked a lot about the stormwater infrastructure needs that we have in our nation. We really felt it was important that there are resources out there. The Clean Water SRF is a big one, although data shows that it's between 1% and about 4% of all clean water SRF dollars go towards stormwater only. Only that much goes to stormwater, although it could go up to 10% by authorization under the law, but only about 1 to 4% goes, depending on the state, you know, and how they prioritize funding. And so we felt that it was really kind of one of the big challenges is that a lot of communities and the states and the EPA regions don't really realize that there is SRF is a funding source, but there are other funding ways to fund stormwater infrastructure out there. You know, innovative things like the community-based P3 program or approach, state resources that are available, being able to just, you know, how to create a stormwater utility in some cases, and be able to go out into the capital markets, creating special, you know, unique partnerships, green bonds, and things like that. We felt it was important that there be some additional resources, additional approaches that can be supported through like technical assistance grants to the states and communities. And so one of the things that we've pushed for in the WERDA bill, but also we're urging others in our sector to talk to Congress about, and that includes you all, is to say we really need to have more support on from the federal government on how communities and states and the EPA regions can get funding lined up. So that's the first recommendation. I don't want to take too long on this, like, because Fernando said we're a bit short on time. But I think that the only other thing that I'll point out here is that this is a slide from the need survey that we did a couple years ago that shows that really aging infrastructure is obviously the biggest challenge for a lot of communities, both phase one and phase two MS4 communities, but also lack of funding or availability to capital is a top challenge as well. And so those two kind of go hand in hand in a lot of ways. So that kind of ties into that first recommendation, is that, you know, we need to find the solutions that are out there. Some of those solutions are more money. Some of those solutions are better approaches. And that technical assistance grant program will help address some of, you know, that challenge. So I will then, I think with that slide, hand it over to Seth.
The second recommendation is focusing on stormwater testing and performance as a topic. This is associated with the STEP program, or the Stormwater Testing Evaluation for Products and Practices initiative that WEF had launched and has shepherded, and has gained a lot of support from specific states, as well as the manufactured industry, researchers, green infrastructure professionals, and others. So there's wide support for this type of program. And really the reason for that is that there's this lack of a national program, really limits the potential for innovation and confidence in overall investment in stormwater infrastructure. And there's, you know, there have been state and or regional programs that in the past, and that there are some that are currently existing. And sustainable funding has been the Achilles heel, frankly, for a lot of these programs. So the thing to consider here is that EPA used to have a program called the ETV, the Environmental Technology Verification Program. This program is looking to do basically the same thing, focused on the stormwater sector. And so clearly the federal government plays a role here. They played a role in the past. We think that they should play a role here, since this would be a proposed national program. And we've been looking for different ways to get funding from the federal government on this. And again, I mentioned previously that we've been working with various congressional members, Senator Coons most recently, but as well as Senator Cardin. There's a lot of support there. It's just it's just a way of getting it into the language the right way, as well. And I should note also that there's a lot of focus here for not only manufactured products, but public domain. I mentioned green infrastructure. That's one of the barriers that you see come up quite a bit for green infrastructure implementation, is a confidence or a lack of confidence in performance. This is something that would address both public and private. So the request to make is to provide funding to EPA or the EPA regions to help develop this national performance verification program, with the understanding that certification would occur at the state level. Thanks. Just keeping things going here. The third recommendation is focusing on the Atlas 14 program, and this is an update of the TP 40 program for those old timers like me and Fernando. I won't put you in the same boat, but I think you probably used TP40 back in the day. This is a program that focuses on or provides precipitation frequency estimates. So basically, you know, what is the storm depth for the 100 year storm in a certain region? And that obviously varies spatially across the country. This Atlas 14 already exists. So it initiated in 2004, and much of the country's actually been updated. So this is a new program that provides a better estimate and just better information overall. Again, most of the country has been updated, with the Pacific Northwest is missing at this time. And the reason for that is that states often fund these efforts at this point. So this has been implemented in a piecemeal fashion across the country. Each time you do this, it's usually either a large state like Texas or a grouping of states, and it's $1 million each or so. We you know, in the conversations with NOAA and Corps of Engineers, we've learned that you can do the entire country for about $5 million. So there's clearly economies of scale here, There's also issues when you do these state by state by state or region by region. There's boundary issues, so it's more going to be more accurate overall if you do nationwide overall. I'll just say real quickly, Texas recently updated theirs and took about $1 million to do that, and it has great benefits. They have much better information on when they plan for stormwater and flood control infrastructure. They know now that the 100-year storm really is the 100-year storm with much more confidence than they did in the past, and that spurred things like statewide water watershed planning efforts. That's one of the things that's come out of this. So we're asking for nationwide updates of using Atlas 14, and that this be done at a decade, every decade. Because we know that precipitation patterns are shifting significantly. And I'll just mention that state climatologists across the country definitely support this effort as well as other industries. Scott?
All right, thanks, Seth. Our final ask is for Congress to facilitate the use of true source control in MS4 programs. True source control is the elimination from use or from the environment of chemicals and substances that cause pollution. MS4s across the country are finding that the tools, the VMPs that we have right now, are really pretty inadequate to achieve the goals of the Act. And also now that incremental gains in water quality are starting to prove pretty costly. Fundamentally, we're not even really sure of the true scope of the problem. It's borne out every year when we discover what we call emerging pollutants that cause receiving water beneficial uses, things like MTBE, which has come and gone as a gasoline additive, and a variety of pesticides. The most current example of an emerging pollutant is PFAS. We can't expect, realistically, MS4 programs to look for problems in the receiving waters one by one and attempt to develop a control method at the end of the pipe, or even at the consumer level. The number of pollutants is simply too large. So we have good treatment tools to remove trash and sediment, but I think after that it starts getting problematic, which is where true source control provides some assistance. Currently, the way we use the Toxic Substances Control Act, TSCA, is really to look at the chemical at its point of use, though the regulation also allows examining environmental fate. In addition, pesticides are exempt from TSCA. Since we know commercial chemicals are causing pollution in stormwaters, MS4s need assistance in regulating their use and disposal. Further support for EPA's Green Chemistry Initiative would also be helpful, as would be supporting extended producer responsibility, which is where producers must take back and dispose of or recycle post-consumer products. So in summary, our ask is for EPA, including the Office of Pesticide Programs, to work with WEF and NAMSA to determine how existing federal laws and authorities can be used to effectively enhance true source control for MS4 programs. This is really a long-term solution that will provide a very high level of return on investment. All right, that's it for our recommendations.
Words.